If you have your Bibles, we are in the book of Acts, the second chapter. I apologize for all the bulges in my sweater. It's just amazing. I guess I should have left one of those. I don't know, I'll go into it. Times like this that you wish you had that I had the old podium back, you know. This is a familiar passage of Scripture to most. If you've been in the Bible at all, you will know that Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 are the unfolding of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. To fully understand our text today, I want to just reflect back on John chapter 15. So if you'll bear with me and kind of listen in, because it gives to us a picture of the purpose and the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that many times we get caught up in the enthusiasm, the manifestations, the fleshly response of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, and we miss the reality of who the Holy Spirit is and what He desires to do in our lives. That makes sense? I'm trying very carefully to weigh my words. Because I'm not wanting to hurt or offend anybody in saying it, but sometimes when the flesh gets involved with spiritual things, it does some crazy things. I've seen them, some of you have seen them, and it has labeled full gospel and Pentecostal churches with a very strange label. And then you have the characters who have preached this word, who have had moral failures. So that also has put an interesting twist. I want you to realize that there is a real moving and outpouring of the Holy Spirit on a believer's life. Forgetting what is behind, forgetting what has happened in the past, forgetting what you and I have seen, even from poor examples, forgetting all of that and realizing that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit was Jesus' idea. He said, "It's good for you that I am going away." And I'm sure they gasp. Because he's saying this to his disciples, to those that loved him. He said, "It's good for you that I'm going away, because unless I go away, the counselor will not come. The paraclete, one like unto himself." It is one who would come alongside. "But if I go," he said, "I will send him to you." So in other words, Jesus is the one who sent the Holy Spirit to the church. He also said, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. He goes on to say, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So now, let me just capsulize this. First of all, the counselor will come. He will convict the world. He will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me, Jesus said. And the Spirit will take from what belongs to Jesus and make it known to us. I would present to you this morning a picture of Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 that may be a little bit different than what you would normally capsulize this event. Yes, it was the day of Pentecost. Yes, it was a grand outpouring, but it was the delivery, the impartation, the placing upon those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the equipping, empowering, enabling presence that they needed to do the work that God called them to do. Someone says, well, you know, can you be saved and not be filled with the Holy Spirit? You can be saved, but I don't know how you'll get there. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin. You can find truth, but really, I don't know how you'll find the truth because the Holy Spirit is the guide into all truth. So you're just like a blind person being led around, wandering around without the help of the Holy Spirit. The point being, we need the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit part of the salvation experience? He is part of the salvation experience in that he leads us to Jesus. He shares with us about Jesus, and he lives as Jesus in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, you've got to divorce yourself from all the manifestations, from all of the stuff, all the junk, all the nonsense that has been tied to this experience over a lifetime. Let me ask in here. How many of you have been aware of the junk that has taken place around Pentecost and Pentecostal churches? Come on. I lift both of my hands because I've lived it my whole life. What's interesting is, see, when I was a kid, you wanted to really be careful in what environments that you told somebody you were Pentecostal, because back in the 50s and 60s, when I was in school, you were crazy. It was immediate picture was that you would swing from the chandeliers. You ran about like idiots. And you know, you were people from the other side of the tracks. Then all of a sudden, I'm pastoring, and the Pentecostals got on television, and it was like super popular to be Pentecostal. Catholics were becoming Pentecostal. Baptists were becoming Pentecostal. And it was like, woo woo. Everybody becoming Pentecostal. And then those on television took a nosedive because their morality finally caught up with them. Their immorality finally caught up with them. And then it was kind of, what about this? I'm asking you this morning to just divorce yourself from all of that stuff. And I know that's hard. Those of you that are listening and watching on the internet, it will be very hard for you to step away from what you know and what you've seen in the past about Pentecostals. But I want you to realize what the Word of God says, that the Holy Spirit and what took place on the day of Pentecost, what it was for the church. If you remember from last week, we're talking about this whole study under the canopy of the title, The History of Christian Origins. That's what the book of Acts is. This is our history, if you will. The thing that we stand upon. I don't know why I threw this in there, but I liked it. I saw it and I liked it. So it has nothing whatsoever to do with what I just said.
You ladies do it all the time, so I'm going to do it right now.
Doctor completed his examination of a woman, and he took her husband aside and said, I don't like the way your wife looks at all. The husband agreed. He said, Doc, she may not be much to look at, but listen, she's an excellent cook and the kids seem to like her.
I don't know, I liked it. I thought it was good.
That's it? You want more? My goodness. Here's what we learn from our passage. Let me read it to you first, and then you reach out and grab hold of it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. As we study this portion of the history of Christian origins, let's see what Christ wanted to invest into his church. Again, I just can't say this enough. You see, we've got to get away from all the images. We've got to get away from all the nonsense. We've got to get away from all the human stuff that is involved here and get back to what Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, wanted to be in his church. This day, this Pentecost day, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit day was not about people going crazy. It was about empowering, enabling. It was about equipping. And no, those are not my 3 points this morning, because it's these things are incredible. God, the Father, desiring to give a portion of himself into the lives of those who have accepted Jesus as his Savior, as their Savior. You need to note this, that this equipping was from heaven. It wasn't from men. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Heaven is where Jesus ascended to. We studied it last week. This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The angels wanted us to realize Jesus went to heaven and the Holy Spirit came from heaven. Just like Jesus said, I will go to the Father and send back to you from heaven the power, the enablement, the equipping of the Holy Spirit is from heaven. We've drug it down to earth. We've brought it down to make it like a human experience. We play around with it at altars. We do all kinds of silly and nonsensical things around the power of the Holy Spirit. But the reality is, the real is from heaven. People come into altars trying to speak a few words that are ununderstandable. So that people will say, yes, you have it, you got it. Nonsense. What we need is the empowering, the enabling, the equipping from heaven. From the throne of God, the power and the glory of God's presence coming and making an indwelling into the heart and life of a man and a woman. That's what this is about. Jesus said, if I go, I will send him to you. You get the picture of Jesus ascending up into heaven. And then in just a very few days, him saying to the third person of the Trinity, now it is time. Go, make the investment. I went. I gave my life. I did everything the Father desired of me. Now, go and indwell their lives and empower them, enable them, and equip them to do the work that I have set for them to do. This equipping is not from the abilities of men. We need to understand, though there sometimes are human agents involved in the conveying or the purveying of the truth of the message, that's all we're doing is telling you about something that is supernatural, something that is heavenly. I'm not inviting you to come to an altar and have your hands laid upon you and some kind of a human impartation of a gift or an ability that I have. I want to see you come and be filled with power from on high, that heaven would dwell in your heart, that heaven's gift would be upon your life as you go out into a hurting and dying world. We don't need another human's impartation. We need from heaven the equipping and empowering for service. Must have God's presence, heaven-sent power and equipping. Those that you love, those that you care about, you want to speak into their lives, you want to say the right things. But let me tell you, from experience, our best words on our best day are not sufficient to draw a single person to Jesus. But one moment, stumbling, stammering, tearing it all to pieces under the anointing of heaven's Spirit, and a person will fall to their knees and come to know Christ as Savior. When the great evangelist D.L. Moody began his ministry, people said it hurt. It was painful to listen to him speak. He was so horrible with the English language. He just mutilated it. But his zeal and desire and the Holy Spirit burning inside of him for the lost caused him to just keep preaching, caused him to keep testifying to people on the streets, leading soldiers that had just come through the battles of the Civil War, leading them to Jesus. Not by might. Not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit from heaven. Come on, church. You see, we've got to get our eyes off of the stuff of this world, and we've got to begin to seek heaven's best, the power from heaven that we need to do the work that is ours to do before the coming of Jesus. I would cause you to note one other thing, and that is that this equipping filled the house. It says, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. This strange phenomenon does not call for much speculation. In other words, we get every one of us in this room get a picture of the whole house being filled. Right? If I said that this whole house was filled with sound, immediately your minds would go with my mind that from every corner, in every portion of this room, you could hear the sound. We get it. And yet this strange phenomenon does call for much attention. This heavenly wind filled the room. There is a hollow place in every spiritual room without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Since that day, some of you have tasted this. You have gone into rooms, spiritual rooms, places where people were brought together to worship, but the Holy Spirit was not invited. And you walk in and you sit there and you feel the void, you feel the vacuum, you feel the hollowness and the emptiness. You may not even be able to identify it. You just say to yourself, oh, something's different. Ooh. Maybe it makes you say, boy, I can't wait to get back home to church. I pray that's the truth. I pray that when you walk into this place, that the whole house, from this end of the building all the way to the other end of the building in all of our kids' classrooms, you see, that's what I'm praying over. That's what I'm seeking God for, that His Spirit would come and fill the whole house. So, oh, Pastor, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Yes, and that's what happens every day, that we allow His Spirit to fill the house. You see, God could have filled the people without filling the house. You ever thought of that? He could have sent the power from heaven down onto each one of those individuals and never bothered with the house. Why the house? I believe it's in His desire to fill houses. I believe in this history of Christian origins that we have here in the book of Acts, that He is showing us a pattern of His design and His desire, and that is that His Holy Spirit would come out of heaven and would fill the house in which His people are sitting. You and I should be praying over it. You and I should be longing for it. We should give space for the Holy Spirit to be present. We should long and desire that His Spirit would come into this place. It is not enough that we would all come. It's not enough that every seat in this house would be filled with people. Because you see, we could fill it and have people sitting in the aisles and in chairs all across the back. And if His Spirit hasn't come, no lives will really be changed. There's only one presence that is necessary in this house for it to have spiritual relevance, and that is the Spirit of the Lord to come and fill this house. Come on, church, when's the last time that you thought to pray, Lord, fill the house. Fill the house. Before you ever arrived, Lord, fill the house. Before your loved ones and your friends come in, you may be even inviting people to come, but before you ever invite them to come, before they ever sit beside you, that you're praying, oh God, fill the house. Say, well, Pastor, why are you saying that so many times over and over again? Fill the house, because I want it to get stuck in you. I want you to think about it. I want you to long for it. I want you to begin to expect it. Expect it such that if you walk into the place and you don't feel it, if we're going through the song service and you don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you'd find yourself at the altar, not just dancing and praising and worshiping, but find yourself at the altar weeping and saying, oh, Holy Spirit, come. We need you in this house. The lost need you. The hurting need you. We need you because you are the one from heaven. You see, this strange phenomenon still happens today when God's invited into a place. Jesus said, if two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of you. He went to heaven. Another just like him, another with the same purpose, another with the same design, another of the Godhead has come back to make a dwelling among men. He is here. He is here in this house. And before he fills a single life, he will come and fill a
a room with his presence.
I love what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, after they had prayed, the church, the place where they were meeting was shaken. The place. Not just the people. That'd be kind of a today characteristic. And after they had prayed, all the people shook. Huh? Well, come on. And after they had prayed, all the people danced. And after they prayed, all the people shouted. After they prayed, the place was shaken. Because they went into unison, came into unison with the power of the Holy Spirit was in the place. And a place can't stand it. I'd love to see this place shake. Let me give you the third part. Not only is this equipping from heaven, not only is this equipping filled the house, but this equipping filled their hearts. All of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Note first the individualized portion. It says tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Do you realize that God, the mighty, the awesome, the glorious, wants to portion into your life and into my life? Something interesting about this is the fact that when this fire came and divided, individuals would not have been able to see that fire over themselves. They would have observed it on others. You see, there's no ego. There's no look what I did. There's no look at me instead of you. I'm appalled at colleagues who shine the light upon themselves to show how much power that they have. You come, let me lay my hands on you and I can knock you over. I can do something to you that will show a manifestation of the power that's in me. That's not God. There's a realization that comes in us of His presence, of His power, singular unto our own life, of His desire, His plan. And everything that I see in the Word of God, when the Spirit of God comes upon a man, he falls. He falls. Under the awesomeness and glory of the presence of God. And you know what he cries out? Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. In other words, we see our humanity for what it is. When we come into contact in the power of the Holy Spirit, that thing that Jesus said would take place, that He would reveal, He would guide, He would open up, all of a sudden we see ourselves as we really are. We see the uncleanness. We see the things that should separate us from God. And we become overwhelmed by the filth and the dirt in our lives. If it's not for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no worthiness for the presence of the Lord. I know this is meddling a little bit today, but I want you to understand some of this. Don't just take it because somebody has a national ministry and a huge audience that can follow them. Don't just take their example. We have seen the results of that. Take the Word of God. This equipping, this filling of their hearts was for what God could do in the individual life. In other words, here stands Peter. Peter was filled. Here stands John. John was filled. Here stands Bartholomew. Bartholomew was filled. Here stands Philip. Philip was filled. as the Spirit of God came upon them for the task that God anointed them to do. He filled them with His Holy Spirit, equipping, enabling, empowering them for their task, for what God had for them. People will say, and I know John MacArthur and others have books out and are preaching on a regular basis, that this all ended with Pentecost. I take exception to that because we still have the task. The task has not changed. The mandate, the call to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples of all men, has not changed. So the need is still here, and the need is still great. And so we cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can think what you will about speaking in tongues, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, or whatever it is about it, but I'm telling you, we need from heaven God's Spirit upon our lives. And if you do not know, if you cannot see the evidence of the Spirit of God, I don't care what happened to you in your past. I don't care how you shook and fell. I don't care how you ran and danced. Do you have power? Are you equipped? Are you doing the work of the ministry? If you're not, then you need to find yourself a place before the Lord and call out, "Oh God, I let slip from my life the power, the enablement, the equipping that I've needed." You say, what's the evidence? Am I preaching the gospel? Am I discipling people? Am I doing the work of the ministry? If not, then I do not have His Spirit. Because you see, the Holy Spirit did not come upon the believer to just make them feel good or to have those little goosebumps on the back of their neck, or to have a shout or a laugh. He came to equip, to empower, to enable, to do the work of the ministry. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit don't sit in church. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit are engaged in the body of Christ and in the world, bringing people to Christ. I know. Sorry. But it's true. The equipping is not the work itself. You see, we want to reach out and grab a hold of the equipping of the Holy Spirit and go, "Whoa, I've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Spirit. I got it." What do you got? All you have now is what you need to get started. It's not the ending point. Pentecost was not the end of the church. It was the beginning of the church. If every one of us would begin to look and long for the fact that the Pentecost, the personal infilling of the Holy Spirit, was not our ending point spiritually, but rather our beginning point spiritually. Peter was a mess until he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he was a man of power. After that, the Holy Ghost came upon him. You and I should be looking for our day of power. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man went walking and leaping and praising God. That's the kind of stuff. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Why? Just because we believe? No. Because we've had a visitation from heaven. Because we have an empowering and enabling and equipping. See, Pastor, what are you trying to accomplish here today? I want you to realize that the Holy Spirit came in the beginning to get the church moving forward. The Holy Spirit comes into the lives of individuals today to get them moving forward. You cannot say that you are a spirit-filled believer and sit in a pew. Just give me another song. Give me another sermon. Give me another good feeling. Uh-uh. Whatever that feeling is that you're feeling, that's not God. That is simply your emotions. Sorry. I've got the book to back me up. What do you got? Now, I don't say that to be mean. I just mean we need to deal with truth. Too many people going out telling people, I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're doing nothing in the kingdom of God. They're not using what God equipped them for. Oh, and also, not only is this equipping from heaven, this equipping filled the house, this equipping filled their hearts, but this equipping enabled them to speak. It says, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I don't like that. That's fine. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. If a guy stands up and teaches you some babbling so that you can feel like that you received the Holy Spirit, then you are as dumb as he is if you do it. I'm sorry, but it's true. Because all these shenanigans are what have taken away the truth of the Word of God, and so it angers me. It angers me when I realize that people say that they're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and they're doing nothing for the kingdom of God. It angers me because they have taken something that is incredibly precious, something that is incredibly powerful, a gift from heaven for mankind to be able to get up and move forward for God. And they're walking around with a label, look at me, and they're doing nothing for the kingdom. You've heard the phrase, put up or shut up. I think it applies. If you want to sit and do absolutely nothing in the kingdom of God, if you don't want to invest of your precious life into the things of God, then please do not tell anybody you're saved. Do not tell anybody that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Just tell them that you're in pursuit of the world just like everybody else. And look at me go. But if you want to be used of God, if you want God's presence and power and enablement in your life, then I want you to know where you can go, because he has promised a gift of his Spirit for those who will use that gift to further his kingdom. This isn't about you. It's not about me. It's not about enriching this church. It's not about filling these seats so that we can look and count how many are here. It is about doing the work of God, the work of his kingdom. And this whole thing of speaking in another language, it was something that was needed on that day. And a yielding that was needed in their lives. James tells us that the hardest member of the body to conquer is our tongue. And in my 61 years of listening to a lot of tongues, I would say that's true. I've had many people that their tongue has wagged at me and they've had to come back later and tell me they were sorry. And I've had others who were sorry just never came back to tell me. And some people were just sorry. You understand? They need a spirit-anointed tongue. I say that because, you see, so many people within the church feel like that there's a special license that doesn't even apply out in the world. I think part of that is because they realize if you said some of the things that you say in church to people, that they'd punch your lights out. Maybe we need a little of that spirit, the spirit of light punching. How many know what I'm talking about? Ah, it's just church. What are they going to do? We need the Holy Spirit to get a hold of our tongues, to get a hold of our language. He does an incredible thing. It's certain that these individuals had a natural ability to speak. We could go through the scripture if time would permit. And by the way, somebody took my clock, so I don't. It was here earlier, and now it's gone, so I don't know. It's. Hey, cool. There it is. So that's the way it works. Every now and then, if you'll lift that up for me, I'd appreciate it. So will everyone else. All of these individuals in the upper room knew how to speak. We've heard from several of them in the Gospels. They spoke out for various things. But none of them spoke the way they did on the day of Pentecost. Because they spoke on the day of Pentecost beyond their capabilities. Because when the Spirit of the Lord came from heaven upon them, He enabled them to speak in a heavenly language that their minds did not know. So when the people on the outside listened to the people on the inside, they heard them speaking in their languages, though those people on the inside had never studied those languages. Because God was doing something. I don't know about you, but I feel like that it's time in the generations of men once again. This was about the history of the Christian origins, the beginning of the church. I believe that we're living in the last days of the church here on earth. And if there was ever a time where we needed the gifting of the Holy Spirit to begin to speak through and in the lives of individuals, it is this day. I have a longing in my heart that the truth of God would be conveyed and purveyed by the Holy Spirit of God. Not just the thoughts of men. Not just the stuff that came out of their minds, but that God would speak. Again, the Spirit came for equipping, enabling, and empowering. He came from heaven. He filled the house. He filled the individuals. And He changed the way they speak. Oh God, do it here. Not so we can dance or jump or shout. Though those things may happen, but those are not the reason. But so we can be equipped, empowered, enabled to do the work of the ministry. Young folks, if you take a Spirit-filled life into the school, lives will be changed. Moms and dads, if you take a Spirit-filled life into the office, into the factory, lives will be changed. Not to your glory or your praise, but on the one who fills your life. Isn't it time? Isn't it time that we would truly be filled with the Spirit? Equipped, enabled, empowered to do the work that God called us to do from the very, very beginning? The only thing that stands between us and that power is us. Because He is ready. He has already sent His Spirit. I don't know about you, but I feel His presence here this morning. I also feel there's a bit of fighting going on.
Because see, this is, we're talking here about a loss of control. It's got to be a letting go of who's in charge. But I want you to know, whenever you're ready for the real, you may not be ready. And don't try and play somebody's game. There's not going to be extra points for you coming to the altar or anything like that. You know, we can't give out extra points, extra credit. This is about what you're desiring in your life and in your spiritual life. I want you to realize that what happened in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, is still alive and available today. The need is greater. I heard someone say the other day that in the day of Jesus, there may have been in the entire world between 100 and 200 million people in the entire world in Jesus' day. Today, there's almost 7 billion. Tell me we don't need the equipping, the empowering, the enabling of the Spirit of God to do the work of the ministry.